and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney's Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
It's so good to be back. 6 p.m. service. How are you doing? Pastor Ali and I were saying that maybe Alyssa should just preach the message tonight. She's on fire in an introduction. Awesome. You can take your seats. Thank you so much. It really is an honour to be back with you this evening. I am excited to bring you a word for the third time across 2 days. It's just awesome. Let me show you a photo of my family who send their love from... Well, my boys are in Adelaide. David is in the Gold Coast. Someone random is looking after our sons. Not really, their grandmother is. But that's James and Sam. James is 5, Sam is 3. They're nuts. There's some other photos. These are the warm-ups that... That's actually what my life is like. That's more true to form. And there, Sam is so loving that he's violent, as you can see him strangling my neck. So that's my family. Our church, LifePoint Church, sends their love from Adelaide. And again, thank you to Pastor Ali and Pastor Brad for having me this weekend. It has been such an honour and so much fun. And I realised I live way too far from the beach in Adelaide. And I should move to Cronulla because it's beautiful. So I might be back next weekend. I'll just sit in the seat and just say that I was required for further ministry and hang out at the beach for the next 7 days. So let me share you the word I feel like God's put on my heart for you tonight. And I feel it's really relevant to you guys, the 6 p.m. service, about recognizing the season that you are in and investing in the season that you are in so that you can have the future you hope for. Who wants a future that is a good future? Who wants a future that is one that you have prayed for, are believing for, have hope for? And so I wanted to share with you, first of all, that God spoke to me at the beginning of last year very clearly, and I never get words for the beginning of a year. Like, that just is something that God's never really spoken to me, but I really felt at the beginning of last year that God just said, just say yes. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means. But I just hung on to it. Like, you know, just say yes. So when God gave opportunities, and I feel like it enlarged me in a huge way across the year. But to be honest, and as Alyssa shared, I like to be honest, we actually had a miscarriage at the beginning of the year. And I didn't know that I was pregnant when I heard God say, just say yes. And a few days later, I was like, wow, 3 children, shivers. And as it turned out, I learned about a month after the fact that that we had lost the baby, and that was kind of the beginning of the year. And then a bit later in the year, James, I had him at church, and I was being a quality parent, and right there in front of me, some sheets of MDF fell on him and broke his collarbone. That's one of the stories of James being injured. 2 were on my watch, so I'm not claiming all of them. One was on David's watch, one was on my dad's watch. And I shared with the church this morning about how James has been stitched and slung and stapled and glued. He's all intact, but you can see he's missing some teeth. I'll get to that later. But anyway, the beginning of the year, all of this last year, I feel like God was saying yes. I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, this is just a weird year. Just stuff was happening. And actually, this year's just been as big a year. And it's been a good year, but it has been a big year in my life and in the life of our church. And I resigned teaching. I've been teaching for 14 years and felt God say to me, my first day back at school this year, no kids yet, just staff. And I rang David and I said, I just don't want to be here. Which sounds negative, but actually it wasn't. It was God unsettling me to the new season that he was taking me into. So I resigned after 14 years of teaching. I shared this morning that James had his teeth knocked out. I was at colour this year and on Daddy's watch. James fell up the stairs in the middle of the night and knocked 2 teeth. Well, actually didn't knock his teeth out. They were removed in surgery. He had to have 15 stitches in his little mouth. And then a few weeks later, he fell over and split his head open, so he needed that stapled. So this was the year. And then we merged churches. We brought 2 churches together in Adelaide, and that has been great, wonderful. God has been in that, but that has been big. My dear Nana passed away earlier this year. We had our women's conference. Then we brought on more staff at church. It's been a stretching year, I believe, for me. We hosted the first ever A21 Walk for Freedom in Adelaide, which was incredible this year. So it's been stretching. And I really do believe that we've got to recognise what God is doing. We've got to be aware of what God is doing. But sometimes it's really hard to know, God, what are you doing? You've just said, just say yes, step out in faith, do these big things, be bold, be courageous. But sometimes you kind of go, God, what are you doing? A few years ago, when I think James was little, Pastor Andrew Kabbalah prayed. He came to our church and he, in ministry time, was praying over me. And he kept saying, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's all right for a word. But you know, whatever. And actually, I heard him say it to somebody else. I was like, that was my word. You just stole my word. But do you know what? As I meditated on it and as I continued to think over it, I was like, no, today is the day. Survival and existence and just getting through the day and surviving the season that you're in is not the same as living. Today actually matters. And this season that you are in matters. And so what do you do when you don't know what God is actually doing? When you're in a season of uncertainty, when you're in a season where you're kind of going, God, like, what are you up to? I don't get it. This is challenging. This is weird. This is hard. You know, God, what are you actually doing in this season? And, you know, my friend, a couple of years ago when our boys were little, her and her husband separated. And she's a very good friend of mine, not a Christian family, comes to our church randomly, but a good friend of mine. And she separated from her husband and she was just kind of saying how, What now? You're like, I had a picture in my head of what my life was going to look like, and it doesn't look like this. This is an uncertain season. I don't know what my future looks like. And I remember just sending her the verse from Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Even though we don't know, and even though she has really not a lot of confidence in necessarily God in her life, I still sent to her, you know, God knows what he's doing. He's got it all planned out. And so, in the process of doing that, I'd like to say too that I have prayed for them, and I never changed her surname, even though she went back to her maiden name. I never changed her surname in my phone. So every time I saw her name, I saw her married name, and they are back together. And so I believe that was a declaration. That was a reminder to me to pray. So just a little encouragement to you tonight, if you're praying for someone's marriage or even your own, keep praying. Anyway, let me have a look. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Jeremiah 29, but we're going to go back to the beginning of that passage, because we know Jeremiah 29:11 perfectly. It's a great verse. It's encouraging. But let's look at the context in which that was prophesied or promised to God's people. So I'm going to read to you from verse 4, if you want to turn with me, in Jeremiah 29. It says, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, sends this message to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food you produce. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them and have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Pray to the Lord for the city where you are held captive, for if Babylon has peace, so will you." Do you know, when you look at it like that, we'll come back to Jeremiah 29:11 a bit later, but we look at that context. Jeremiah was a prophet who was writing to this tribe of Israel, Judah, who were exiled to Babylon. Similar time frame to what I shared this morning with Ezekiel, just a fraction earlier. And there were false prophets who were prophesying to the tribe of Judah that their exile would be short-lived, that it would happen, it would be over quickly, they'd be able to go home. And that, you know, don't, basically, just hold your ground and, you know, you'll be home soon. But Jeremiah's saying, no, these prophets aren't correct. These false prophets aren't correct. This is actually not going to be a short season. This is going to be 70 years. He prophesied this exile is a 70-year exile. So in other words, you can't ignore this season. You can't just wait it out. You can't just kind of hold your ground and hope that it'll be better tomorrow and we'll be able to go home. He's saying you can't waste this time. This time matters. This season counts. And even sharing with Christy over lunch today, you know, surviving your days with young children, you know, the days are long, but the years are short. And we've got to look at our seasons like that, it might be a difficult season, it might be a challenging season, but don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till when my kids are bigger, or when we buy that house, or when we get to go on that holiday, or when I get married, or when I finish my uni degree, or, you know, today counts. Let's make this season count. You know, Bob Goff says, embrace uncertainty. Some of the most beautiful seasons of our lives won't have a title until much later. Don't you love that? You don't know what God's doing, but you'll be able to look back and see exactly what he was doing, but you can't always see it while you're in it. And there are things I believe we can learn from this passage that we can do in seasons of uncertainty. What do we do? First of all, we build. We build. You actually establish yourself. You make yourself at home. You dwell. You settle. You sit. You remain. That word means you live. You don't rent. You know, when you think about rent, renting's temporary. Renting is like you shift from place to place and house to house. And but build. Establish yourself. Dwell in the season. There are so many things you can build in seasons of uncertainty. You can build yourself up. In your most holy faith, you read in Jude, you can build yourself up. You can build others up. You can build into the lives of others. You can build what is in your heart. You can build into what you think the dreams and desires in your heart are. It says in Psalm 37, to trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You can build in a season of uncertainty. And don't worry, building is messy. We built a house a few years ago. It took 3 years. It was a long process. Our building site was a disaster. I feel like women should do a business that is like cleaning up building sites. Because seriously, there's like a whole industry for it. Oh my gosh, it was just a mess. I wrecked my shoes, it was just messy. Building is messy, and that's actually okay. Build in the season that you are in. Build your business, build your life group, build your home, build yourself, build in the season that you are in. And just keep doing what is in front of you. What's in front of you that you can build into? So build, number one, in the season of uncertainty. Number two, plant. It says here, plant and expect to eat. Plant gardens and eat the food you produce. I love that. Expect a harvest. Sow into something. Give into something. Plant in the season that you are in. Expect a harvest when you do that. Don't withhold, it says. It says, plant gardens and eat the food you produce. Don't hold on to what you into what you could hold on to, but instead sow it and give it. James has a fish tank, which actually turns out to be quite the ugliest thing we've ever put in our house. But it was a gift from my sister for his birthday. And it's supposed to be self-cleaning. But guess who's cleaning it? Not the five-year-old and not the auntie that gave it to him, but just his mum. Anyway, it's actually one of those ones where you put, like, grow pod things on the top of it. Is anyone know what I'm talking about? And you put seeds and then it grows. And supposedly the plants are supposed to filter the water and I don't know. But anyway. But do you know what? These seeds, they just grow. They're not even in soil. They're on these special grow pods and they just, all of a sudden, they're literally in a pot and then you put them in the grow pods and they sprout within, like, a day, within 2 days. I think it's such a beautiful picture of just plant. Just plant and see that God will actually bring about a harvest. You know, right now in this season of our church, I'm thoroughly enjoying it because for a lot of years, I was teaching in the northeast of Adelaide, but our church was actually in the south part of Adelaide. And so I always felt like my investment into the kids I was teaching and the high school age children I was teaching was kind of a bit lost. Like they were in the northeast and that was their family and that was their home and we were in the south. But what I've loved seeing in the last couple of years as we've moved our church to the northeast of Adelaide is so many of my old scholars coming to our church and being a part, like key young adult people in the life of our church. And I didn't know 10 years ago that was what I was sowing into, but I can see 10 years later just how much that investment was worth it. I sowed in that season and I can see that God, there's a reaping of that harvest 10 years later, which I had no idea at the time, but plant and expect that there will be a harvest. It says in Proverbs 11 in verse 24, there is one who scatters and yet increases more, and one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. There's one who scatters and it increases. Keep scattering, keep sowing, keep planting in the season of uncertainty that you might be in. Keep giving. What is in your hand that you can sow? It might be finance, but it might be your time. It might be that you can have a coffee with somebody every week and encourage them. What can you sow? What can you give to the people in your world and to what is happening here at church? And what can you be sowing in your season of uncertainty? Number three, marry. Now, I think that's actually terrible advice. I feel like in seasons of uncertainty, Pastor Donna said you should get married. Not actually the ideal scenario. Don't get married. But I believe the picture of investing into relationships, investing into building family, marriage, your friendships. I believe it's important to invest in your relationship with God in this season. Yeah. I love that one of our young women in our church, she's nearly 30, she's single, and she's decided that she's going to use this season of her life to memorize scripture. So that when she's married and when she has young children and doesn't have time to memorize or necessarily be reading her Bible all the time, she's got it in her heart, she's got it in her head, she's actually invested now so that for the future she's still equipped with the Word of God. I love that, memorizing scripture while she can. Invest in your future, you know, invest in this season where you invest into relationships, where you believe for your future and you believe for what God is going to do. Believe for your family. You spend some time in this season actually in faith for the people in your world, the things that God is doing and He wants to do through you. You know, in Proverbs 29 and verse 8, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You might be uncertain about what God is doing, but still hold true to the vision that God has given you for your life. And if you don't have one, use this time to find out. Use this time to work out what it is that is you're passionate about, you know, that is important to you. I was going to share it later, but I'll share it now to say that when Dave and I got married nearly 10 years ago, 2009, July 4th, Independence Day, except not for us. We became very dependent. So we've been married nearly 10 years, two kids, all of that. But we had 7 years prior to getting married of a lot of on and on again seasons, off and on again seasons. And I look back on that now, I hated it at the time, of course. He had a lot of uncertainty about what we were, about marrying me. I'll get to that later. But do you know, I know that in that season, I can look back now and know that I learned so much about who God is. I learned so much about who I am in that season of uncertainty where I just was able to press into God and I had to learn to lay things down. I had to learn to trust God. But you can do that in seasons of uncertainty when you choose to invest in your relationships and your future and the vision that God has for you. I learned so much about what God has, I mean, not all of it, but elements of what God had called me to, I learned in that season. You know, it says in Psalm 37 verse 5, this is a promise to us, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. Just commit yourself in the season of uncertainty to the Lord and know that in time He will bring it to pass, whatever He has in store for you. Number four, multiply. Multiply. I love this. It says, multiply. Do not dwindle away. Don't dwindle away in your season of uncertainty. So easy when we don't really know what God is doing to kind of go, I don't know if I want to go to church today. I don't know if I want to, you know, it's so easy to retreat. It's so easy to pull back. It's so easy to stop doing what you know you should do because you're not quite confident in what God is doing. But can I encourage you, even when you're uncertain about what God is doing, continue to press in, to multiply, to increase. Don't withdraw or hold back. You know, in Matthew 25, we read about the parable of the talents. And I love that. I love that passage. I love the principles that are in that. And I love the fact that we see these good and faithful servants. These, well done, Jesus, or the master says to them, because you've multiplied what I've given you. The person who was given two talents. Five. I've got my numbers wrong here. Five. That is right. Yeah, two and five. And they doubled it. They invested it and they doubled it. You know, and then you look at this other servant who just held on to what he was given, held on to it, did nothing with it, was worried about what would happen if he made a mess of it. It's very clear when you read scripture that we are called to increase. Yes. We are called to multiply. Yes. We are called to grow in the things of God. I love well done and good and faithful servant. It's basically, he's saying you've had faith with what God has given you. You've been faithful with what God has given you. So well done for having faith for what I've put into your hands. I think how can we not use what God has entrusted to us? Every single one of us has skills and passions and giftings and enablings that are specific to each of us, specific and unique and part of the call of God on your life. How could we not? I don't want to be the wicked and lazy servant. That sounds so harsh, but really when you think about it, the world needs your gifting. The world needs your calling. It's not your gifts and your abilities are not an accident. They're not something that, you know, God kind of half thought through. They're specific and they are needed in this world. We are actually robbing others when we don't use what God has given us. We are actually robbing the world of what God wants to do through us when we hold on to what he has equipped us with. You know, it says in the Matthew Henry commentary, in all conditions of life, it is our wisdom and duty to make the best of that which is and not to throw away the comfort of what we may have because we have not all we would want. Wow. In other words, we can so easily discount what we do have because it's not what we think we need my gifting's not like that person's or my call's not like that person's or my skill set is not like that person's. So we discount what we've got and we think, I can't use it because mine isn't as good as somebody else's. But it's yours and God's given it to you. And what I love about the parable of the talents is if you invest it, your one becomes two, becomes four, becomes eight, becomes 16. You become very able very quickly when you invest it and when you multiply it. So invest in the season that you are in. Make sure your life is fruitful and increasing no matter where you are positioned in life. Even if you feel like you're in exile, like these Israelites were, even if the season you are in feels, you might feel overlooked, you might feel exiled, you might feel put on the shelf. But I want bench, shelf, that's good. You know, you might feel like you are in exile, but can I encourage you, invest in the season, multiply what you've got anyway. Investment is costly. It does cost to invest. When you think about financial investment, you have to give something, don't you? You're entrusting something to a financial investment. It's vulnerable and it can seem risky. There's no such thing as risk-free stewardship. But it is the life that God has called every one of us to live. It's to live a bit risky. That's okay. That's what faith is. That is those steps of faith and being courageous with what God has given us. So multiply. Number five. Work. It says work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Work where God has sent you to work. In Colossians 3, it says work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And it also says in Proverbs, hard workers get rich. It's actually that simple. You know, hard work. I feel like if you work hard and you're generous, you are going to always profit. You are always going, that's the principles of God. Working hard and being a generous person are always going to increase who you are and your opportunities. So work willingly at whatever you're doing. It might not be your dream job. It might not be the role you really want here at church. You might be in your family and you hate the chores you have to do. I don't know. But I want to encourage you, work willingly as though you're working for the Lord, because when you do that, that's when he can bless you and take care of you. Work for its peace and prosperity, it says. Work for its peace and prosperity. It's talking about Babylon. It's talking about where they have been enslaved and held captive. And God says to his people, work for its peace and prosperity. Work in whatever you are in to see it peaceful and prosperous. I love that Jesus says in Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers, or blessed are those who work for peace. Blessed are those who work for peace. So work where God has sent you and make sure you are working for peace wherever you might be. And number six, pray. It says this, pray to the Lord for that city where you are held captive, for if Babylon has peace, so will you. Intercede, no matter the season that you are in, intercede for where you are positioned and where you are placed. Intercede and pray for your season or for your city or for your uncertain situation that you are in at the moment. It could be for your home, it could be for your workplace, it could be for your marriage, it could be for your church, it could be for your city. I think it is for this nation and this church in particular. Pray for the nation, pray for this nation, and pray that it would prosper, that it would be blessed, that it would go forward, that we would see its success in this season. You know, I wanted to read to you from Jeremiah 29, verse 10, and we'll read on from there in the message. And I love this because when you think about that context, when you think about these the people in exile, these were people that were enslaved, they'd been disobedient to God, they'd been taken away into captivity. And Jeremiah is saying to them, don't waste this season, don't waste it, but know that there's still a promise coming. So when we read Jeremiah 29:11, this is what it said. This is the context in which we read this promise. He says, it's coming up here. This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, there's that prophecy, I'll show you up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. Let's keep reading. I have it all planned out, he says. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Let's keep reading. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. How is that for a promise in your season of uncertainty? God, I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. You've got to do your 70 years. This is a season, but it's contained. It's not forever. And there is a tomorrow, and I am going to bring you home, and you won't be disappointed. I'm going to take care of you. I love that. I love that. And what I love is that even when we are uncertain, God is most certain. He is so assured of what he is doing in your life. We might not know, but he knows exactly what he is doing. Do you know when we read John, we see all these statements that Jesus makes. He says, most assuredly, I say to you. In the old King James, it's verily, verily. But the word is amen. It's let it be done. He says, most assuredly, I say to you. These are his promises. Whoever believes in me has everlasting life. Most assuredly, if one is born again, he will see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Most assuredly, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Most assuredly, he says, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. That was our offering message tonight. And greater works than these. Most assuredly, he says, this is the bad bit, you will weep and lament. Most assuredly, but, he says, your sorrow will be turned to joy. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. We might be uncertain, but he is most certain. He is most assured. So my encouragement to you tonight is don't wait for one day. Don't wait until it's all arranged and perfectly packaged and your life is exactly how you think it should be. Don't wait for the one day. Today is your day. He is most assured that he will give you the future that you hope for. So keep building, keep planting, keep investing, keep increasing, keep working, keep praying. That's my encouragement to you tonight, that there is a future that you are hoping for. I hope you have hope for your future. I hope that you do. I would love you to stand with me tonight. I would love to give you a chance to respond to the word tonight. And for those of you here, it might be that you are in a season of uncertainty where you just go, this is my season and it's hard. I don't know what God is doing. This is my challenge. This is my health struggle. This is my family situation. This is my work situation. This is just the season where this has happened and I just don't know where I fit now. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with myself now. Well, you might be in an uncertain season. I would love to pray for you tonight. I would love to encourage you to come down the front so I can pray for you here at the altar. I'd love to pray that God would speak to you so clearly that you would feel empowered to keep going, to keep building, to keep investing, to keep multiplying what God has done in you and continues to do in you. So I would love to pray for those people tonight who are feeling like you are just a bit lost, a bit lacking hope for your future. I would love to pray for you tonight. And so if you, as the band sings, as they sing, I'll invite you to come to the front. I would love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you individually. And And so as the band sings, why don't you come down the front? I would love to pray for you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.